Welcome back to Mental Health Matters.
Woohoo!
All right, we're excited today. We are talking to Keisha and Ken about health equity today, a really fascinating subject that I want everybody to really pay attention to and see how it affects you and the world around you and what you can do to participate and know a little bit more about this area. I'm Scott Terry, and you are listening to KRUU-FM, 100.1 on your FM dial, archive now, and we also have a YouTube channel that we're going through, Art and Counseling Center. So that's getting going. And if anybody needs anything at all, feel free to email me. I love your emails, Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at ardentcenter.com. It's easier than even the KRUU one. Ardent Center. Ardent is ArdentCenter.com. So Scott at ArdentCenter.com. And we're just so excited to try and look at what we can do, all of us, to do what we're here to do on this planet and make a difference and have some fun while we're doing it. So I am Dr. Scott Terry. I run the Ardent Counseling Center. And one of the things that I want to remind everyone as, especially since this is Tuesday night and next week, we are having the Fairfield Mental Health Alliance meeting going, that we want everyone to join and come to that. Ken will also make a mention of that too, and what the Mental Health Alliance mission is and what we've been doing, but really want you to find how you can make a difference. Even if you're out of town, even if you have no interest in mental health here, but in your community, how you can look at making a difference in your community as well. So looking at the model of what we're setting up here is a difference to make where you're at as well. So, Keisha, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Keisha Nelson, and thank you for having me today. And I am new to the area from Missouri, and I start working for Maharishi University of Management in August of this year, and it's been great.
What do you do there?
I work as a program administrator for Media and Communications Department, and
nice.
It's great. Mm-hmm. And I also have another role, a federal council I belong to is a regional council, which includes Iowa. It also includes Missouri, Kansas, and Nebraska. And we have health and health equity as our main topic. So thank you for inviting me to the show today.
Wow. I really want to hear more about those specific things. Ken, so introduce yourself and why you do everything. Ken does everything. He's on every committee and everything here.
According to my wife, that is absolutely true.
And it is.
Yes, Ken Daly. I work at Maharishi University of Management, where I'm an associate professor in exercise and sports science. I also am very involved with the Blue Zones Project, which is a project to increase the wellness and longevity of Fairfield residents.
But there's blue zones or type of things are also available other places around the country, are there not?
That's correct. There are a number of communities around. The beach communities in California have gone blue zone. They were a very
same
large one.
Same term.
No, it's the same organization, yes. That's correct.
So if you're listening from Chicago or Singapore or wherever you're at, even if they don't have something, it's something that if you looked up Blue Zone specifically, you could say, yes, that's a fascinating idea. That's something we need to get going here. It might be useful here, wherever here is.
That is correct. That is correct. There's an organization in place that is reaching out to communities all over the country at this point, but I'm sure that they will go to other countries because the Blue Zones concept actually came from many other countries. It was a coalescence of a lot of thoughts on where longevity was being displayed around the world.
Mm. So what is the Blue Zone? Tell us one second. I'm sorry to... It's like, well, I want to hear of Keisha's wonderful things and yours. So it's
Well, Blue Zones are trying to create communities where longevity is displayed. People living to be over 100 years of age. That's what our objective is. Not only the quantity of life, but also the quality of life.
So to live healthy to 100.
Live healthy. To be...
mind and body.
Absolutely, and soul. So we bring all of them together in the Blue Zones concept. And it's been in Iowa, we've been going great guns, and Fairfield actually was the fourth community in Iowa that has received the Blue Zones designation.
Mm.
So we're in good shape, and we're very pleased that we've done good
work.
And
people could become, if they want to find out more information?
Blue Zones Project. Just Google Blue Zones Project. When you get to that particular information, one of the choices will be Iowa, and then from within Iowa you'll be able to see a little bit about what's going on in Fairfield.
And you could participate if that's so interesting to you, or if there's, again, if you're in Singapore and want to set something up there. I don't know why Singapore comes to mind, but
well,
Singapore
sounds
like a nice place to go.
Singapore is actually one of the most happiest places in the world.
Seriously?
Believe it or not.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
It's rated right up there in the top four or five places in the world.
Mm.
So you are intuiting very well. So the I also sit on the, as Keisha does, on the what's called a NARHEC, Regional Health Equity Council. Mm. It's part of Health and Human Services, federal government. Now, we're an independent organization, but a lot of the impetus for the organization came from Health and Human Services. And we're 28 people from the four Midwest area.
And what do you guys do? Maybe you guys could both explain what this organization is and what you guys do.
Well, sure. I think Keisha actually is the great one to explain it, because Keisha just stepped down actually just a few weeks ago, as the chairperson for the RHEC number 7, which is the Heartland RHEC. So she's in a very good position to explain that.
Thanks, Ken. Great introduction. I've been the co-chair council for the last 2 years, and was just honored to be a part of this dynamic group of professionals within the region, which includes Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, and Iowa. Mm-hmm. And basically, these professionals, we get together and we just work out how we can make health equity more aware to our region, down to a county level. And we do things like, we task ourselves with writing data books, and we task ourselves with having webinars, and we have a social media presence. And I mean, I've seen the council do dynamic things. And we've built informational sheets for health insurance for small businesses. And so we're just all about health, you know. We are empowered by Health and Human Services, and they began a council. It's divided among the United States into about 10 regions, and we're the 7th region. And it consists of professionals to network on health professionals to network and to get ideas going and just kind of implement them within our region.
One of the things that, to be able to get your head around this idea of what is health equity, I like the word fairness. It's just trying to create fairness amongst our population, because certain parts of our population are disadvantaged for a myriad of reasons. But whatever the reason is, they should have that possibility of success. That is limited because it's not fair. There are certain things that are not fair. For instance, if you're in a rural community, you do not have access to the same things that you have in urban areas. So therefore, the rural area has a health equity in many ways. For instance, you think of a rural area, well, the farming area like Iowa. Actually, the lack of food, believe it or not, in the rural area is a very strong, there's a lot of serious poverty in a rural area. I think it's something like 2/3 of all farmers in Iowa have to have a second job to support their other job, which is farming.
Really?
Yeah, because in terms of the total population, there's just, and the food that they have access to is very limited. We use
They're farmers. How could they not have food?
Exactly.
Because, yeah, exactly.
And what do they raise in Iowa? They raise corn and soybean.
Mm.
See, 50 years ago, or pigs, but they don't eat any of their own stuff that you just said. None of those three, they eat their own. They are shipped off to someplace else. You see, 50 years ago, Iowa was completely self-sufficient in food, or virtually self-sufficient. Mm. There might have been a small amount of wheat that might have been brought in, or some sugar or something like that, but we were self-sufficient. We fed ourselves. With the change of economy, the rural area now, a lot of places are food deserts. Rural areas are which produce food are food deserts. You cannot get a good meal in rural areas a lot of in Iowa, like restaurants, etc., or even feeding themselves on their own farm. They don't farm and feed themselves anymore. So this creates inequities in the system. That's just one small example.
It's interesting, that term food desert. I've heard it. I'm from Chicago, and I've certainly heard that term for very urban districts where there's no grocery stores. Even there's not even, you know, there's a 7-Eleven, and try to survive eating off a 7-Eleven or a McDonald's, you know.
Well, and those ones become food swamps.
Mm.
So we have food deserts, which means no grocery store, no access to food. Then we have food swamps, which are food that we shouldn't be eating likely. And in rural areas of Iowa, if you take a drive, you know, if you go north from here in any of the small communities, what you'll find in food is a food swamp. There's going to, and I'm not going to name names because that's not being fair.
Right.
But most of the convenience stores are the only stores that exist in these communities. And these the food that's being produced or served in there is not fresh. It's not definitely not local. And if there's even any very much choice.
Mm.
So the concept that was from an urban area of a food swamp, because of health equity and this sense of equity, was all of a sudden we started looking at it with that lens of the health equity lens. We said, oh, the same thing's going on in our rural areas. That's not fair.
Right.
How do we create fairness in that? And there's lots of ways we do that, but that's just an example.
And the interest of fairness is also an interesting point. If I was to be, let's say, devil's advocate, and I would say, because you're also talking about diversity issues, race, religion, subcultures, LGBTQ. I mean, there's a lot of subcultures, diversity issues we could talk about. And I could sit there and say, okay, let's say I'm a selfish guy, not to mention any politicians or anything, but I'm just for me and I'm doing okay. Why should I care about those others out there, those other people, you know? And it's like, oh, way beyond me that I don't know about. Why should I care about those people, you know, in quotes, those people?
Yeah, like, that's a really good question. And one of the reasons why I really like working with health is because it touches everything. Mm. So when you talk about those people and you link in health, you touch literally transportation modes, you touch trails, you touch grocery stores, you touch the health clinic at the county level, you touch the hospitals, you touch things like babies and infant mortality. And so you're talking about populations of United States. I mean, we can take this so far. And so when you talk about why should it matter to me, or what is it that is for me in health equity, where you're talking about minority populations, you're literally including yourself within that, because health touches everything, you know.
And it does, and it also costs you. So if I go back to the other side here, so not wanting to help those others, and it's like I'm better than, or whatever the politicians, we won't even go there. You know, I think it becomes really problematic because, well, if I don't, you know, a problem I have from, again, Chicago example, is that if we don't take care of the urban poor, for example, that overwhelms the hospital system and the medical system and the insurance system and transportation, on and on and on. And because they're not taking care of themselves, because there's not the healthy food in various areas, then those people aren't as healthy, which makes my cost go up in terms of city services, county services, state services, as well as I have greater interaction with people than I think I do. I still go someplace and am served and serve other people. And to sit there and say, let's get rid of these people and deport these people and do this to those people and hurt those people, what does that do to me? Who am I becoming as a person? But also, how much back end does this cost me so much more to not deal with that? So I could talk about a moral level, but politically, emotionally, it cost me.
Well,
I don't know if I'm saying this.
No, you're hitting some really good points, because it hits a financial level. It also hits a policy level. And I mean, when you talk about being a politician and what's going on within your community, and our topic of discussion today, mental health, I mean, imagine how mental health has hit the community and the things that we have that are going on right now, you know, on a United States, on a regional, on a county level, and how those things, even though it may not be in your home or in your situation or in your family, immediate family, how those things are triggering the community to be more safe and to be more strong and healthier.
Let's take this one into an example that I think will be of use.
By the way, you're listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry on KRUU-FM 100.1 in your FM dial. And today we're talking about
health equity.
Health equity?
Health equity.
Health equity. And we're so glad you're with us today. Fascinating discussion. Do email us. Do participate. And do come to the Fairfield Mental Health Alliance. Next week we'll be at... next week, I think we're having it at 7:30, Ken?
That's correct. At the Argiro Center on the MUM campus at the cafe, just inside the front door. Just take a right turn, and it's the cafe.
And everybody's invited, even if you're not part of that world, those people, right? Uh-huh. Everybody's part of making a difference.
That's right.
So there's no these people, those people. Enough of the silliness that politicians do to divide us. And it's like, we need to be what we need to be, because things keep happening. And in this little community of 10,000 people, there was another suicide last, right before.
It may be a suicide at this point in time. I'm sure
that's
it's
true. That we're not exactly positive.
Trains and people do have a tendency to
collide and not do well together.
Yeah.
They don't play nice together. And so we need to make a difference. This is serious. And we need your participation so that we can all make a difference and help each other to make a bigger difference in the world. So, Ken, sorry. Yeah.
No, this is an important to maybe look at an example of where we see an intersection between health equity and mental health.
Mm, excellent.
And how things get targeted. For instance, and I'll throw a couple of numbers, but because I think it's important. Tobacco use in Iowa right now, because I'm very involved with the tobacco community, the anti-tobacco community. Let's get that straight.
Okay.
In Iowa right now, we're likely talking about 19% of the adult population still are using tobacco and nicotine products.
18 to 19%, really?
It's 18.8% in Iowa at this point. And that's about, and nationally, it's about 17.8. So we're higher than the national average here in Iowa. However, if you take a look at the national numbers, and Iowa pretty much follows that, it's slightly worse than Iowa in these numbers. But the LGBT community you mentioned a while ago, or LGBT, CIA, depending on confused, intersex, asexual, whatever.
Okay.
This marginalized community sexually, whatever term we want to put to it. 27% of that population are tobacco users.
Really?
27. Now, our population is 19. The LGBT community is much higher. And you say, why? You know, why does that community get unfairly hit with this? And one of the reasons is that it's a targeted audience by big tobacco. It is absolutely a designated market. The other one would be Native Americans. 26% of Native Americans are tobacco and nicotine users.
26% of Native Americans. I mean, you hear about the alcohol and the genetic predisposition to being more alcoholic in the Native populations.
Well, there's historical reasons. Tobacco came from the Native Americans, and it's used in a lot of their spiritual tradition.
But there's a huge difference between what was pure tobacco and what's now...
That is true. But not only that, but the amount that was consumed on very small amounts under ceremonial situations, and not very much of it was used. It's the same as with, for instance, in the Blue Zones project, we say a plant slant. Means we don't say don't eat meat, but we say you should eat it maybe once or twice a month. That's what they found around the world where these people that lived longer, over 100 years of age, they don't have a lot of meat intake. So it's not a matter of not, it's a matter of quantity. And it was done under a very controlled situation. No, it was under a very controlled situation. But they're also now targeted by big tobacco. The other one, now here's, and this is where it crosses with mental health. 36% of people who are involved with mental health issues are nicotine and tobacco users. 36%.
Yes, which makes sense. So if you're depressed, you're wanting a stimulant, which
nicotine is a mild stimulant. Absolutely.
And yeah, absolutely. And what's interesting is that feedback addiction process is also much more intense. So if I'm depressed or anxious or something, it'll actually calm me down while stimulating me at the same time for a few minutes while it's coursing through my system. But of course, the side effects from a mental health perspective are not just, and let me go on a rant for just a second here, is not just that, okay, you're going to die sooner or die unhealthy. The life that you live until you die will be less healthy. It constricts the blood vessels. If you think about a clamp, and you squeeze your fist, right, and you squeeze the blood vessels, and you're having less blood flow to your brain, you cannot think as clearly. The cognitive issues are staggering. And so I'm an affiliate, for instance, of the Amen Clinic. And one of the things Dr. Amen says, which I love, is he said, what's good for your heart is good for your brain, is good for, well, let's say, other regions down there. Because part of the whole problem for men, for instance, with erectile dysfunction is, again, you're having constricted blood flow. So it's, I deal with the psychological end, but there's also the physiological end. And so, again, you have to think about the heart and the brain being synonymous. And so, yes, it affects physical health, as you said, but it also affects mental health in the most serious ways. Mm-hmm. That addictive pattern carries through to other addictive patterns.
And the and the sheer cost to the people, Native Americans and folks with mental health issues generally are very low on the economic scale.
Yes.
Now, the LGBT community is an exception because the LGBT community is actually very, in terms of financially, is much more well-heeled than either the Native American or the mental health communities.
Yes.
But they're targeted for different reasons. When you take a population that already has health issues and then you put another level of economic issues on, then that really exasperates the problem.
Well, and then you have that negative feedback again and again. So now I have less money and I'm depressed, and so my level of functioning is also suppressed. My cognitive functioning is suppressed. My physical functionings are suppressed. I have less income to do something, and so I'm always behind the eight ball. What does it make you want to do? Well, I need stimulation, and please let me just have just a few minutes of peace, or a few minutes of feeling better. So let me do the drug or the, in this case, the tobacco or the whatever, you know, so at least I could feel better for a moment. But the problem is, of course, that makes you feel worse and worse and worse and keeps you in a negative feedback system.
Right. Yeah, mostly what we're trying to do is just feel normal. Most everybody that has using drugs, we've been shown over likely enough research now that we can say that it's likely true, that really what you're trying to do is just get to normal. People are not trying to get high. They're just trying to get normal.
Whatever normal is, and that normal is a projection of who
right.
I used to be.
Absolutely.
As well as, oh, you over there, I want to be like you. Grass is always greener on the other side. So I want that. I need that. Something to bring me some happiness so that I feel normal. I feel okay. I could stop the pain.
Right.
I used to do documentaries on the elderly. And what I found was so fascinating is that people weren't afraid of dying. they were afraid of being in pain.
Right.
And so stopping the pain, stopping how we're hurting ourselves, and it's stopping that pattern, that addictive cycle, and that negative feedback loop, and say, yep, got it. It's time for me to create a difference in my life today.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I'd like to make a comment about is that in Iowa, Iowa does not have a lot of diversity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you take out the Hispanic, because who's white, and who, the Hispanic is sometimes put into the white population, depending on, and we're trying to separate that out a little bit so that we get cleaner numbers across the country. And if you take out the Hispanic, in Iowa, 87% of Iowa is white non-Hispanic, right?
87%.
And the in the U.S., it's only 62%.
Wow.
So Iowa is very white.
Yeah.
And because of that, we don't have a lot of diversity. We don't have a lot. And so the awareness in the community just isn't there. We just don't have that awareness.
Well, that thing I was talking about, the other, those people. Except those people really do impact us, and we impact them in such a way that we don't get. And we're all the same.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree that those people kind of isolate you to thinking that it's just their problem, and it's all of our problem.
So what else would you like to say?
I would like to say the listeners can take away awareness as the main key focus point of the show, and to just become more aware of how to be more healthier and how to have better health, mental health. And I know sometimes in some of the minority groups, we talk about peer support and the support of the community at becoming the most strongest that you can be mentally, and of course, physically also, and spiritually. But, you know, sometimes the mental is not as peer supported as the spiritual growth or the spiritual healthiness or the physical healthiness. And so I would just like the listeners to take away to just become more aware of what's going on. And there's organizations like the Regional Health Equity Council that I belong to that promotes information so that you can become more aware.
And if people wanted to become part of that?
Yeah, they could Google our Regional Health Equity Council, and we're Heartland or Region 7, and we have a website, www.npa.rhec7.org.
Wow.
And, I mean, they can get in contact with me if they like, and I'll be more than happy to share some data.
Email me, because we're just about out of time.
Exactly. And so basically, you know, just we put out a lot of facts. So using those facts to help drive policy, to help drive financial matters, would just be helpful. Would just become more aware.
That's fantastic. And again, people could also join the Blue Zone. They could join the Mental Health Alliance. Or again,
and we cross over. We are an alliance. We have a Mental Health Alliance. That's part of the Blue Zones project. These are all cross-connected. And the last thing I'd like to just, one closing thing is that when in your organization, always use a health equity lens. Whenever you're looking at policy or your clients, try to figure out how does that affect minorities and those that are less advantaged.
Because they are us and we are them.
Yes.
How's that?
That's
well,
great.
Thank you, Keisha. Thank you, Ken. Wonderful show today. Bye, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Thank you. Bye.
Good day.